I would begin by saying that I wanted to be sure to give you Mary's love and her best regards. And we thought we had it worked out so that she would be able to come with me this trip. But that fell through within itself. And so it disappointed her, and we could not talk about it. So we just dropped it and didn't talk about it. And I'm thankful to God for that. But she loves you people more than I love you. No, that's not true. But anyway, she loves you a lot. And she would have loved to come and be with us during this day of fellowship today. I am very thankful to see little David's mother and father with us. They are a blessing to us. It is proper to say little David's mother and father. That's the only reason I said that way. But again, let me say that it's a joy to be with you again. I wish that I only had to come to Palm Beach Lakes to report. I wish that could be the extent of it. But it is not. And because it is not the extent of it, I have to travel on to other congregations. And it is a long journey from the beginning to the end of the reporting. And I will be thankful to God when it was over. Mary walked in the office on Friday to do some work, and she said, You're wanting to go to Rapa Nui, aren't you, near Easter Island? And I said, yes, I am, because I know that Josh is about ready to go, and I'm thinking about him in my prayers, and I wish that I was with him on that journey. I would also take the time to give you the love and best regards from many brethren throughout the Pacific Islands. In Proverbs 25 and 25, God said, like cold water is to a weary stranger, so is good news from a foreign land. There is challenges and opportunities. I prefer to call them that rather than problems, because there are challenges, and those challenges present opportunities. But I am thankful to God that they are minimized in our work in the Pacific Islands. Our work has been for a little over 40 years now, the work of carrying the gospel throughout all of the Pacific Island nations. And that has just continued to expand. We're talking about 22 countries, 30,000 inhabited islands, and over 7 million people. You might give Dan some good news, Dan and Judy. And they were a blessing to be with me last year. It was one of the highlights of my life, as I mark historical events in what I do for the Lord. And it was very encouraging, I think, to Dan and Judy. They gave you the report, I'm sure. But it was a joy. But you might tell Dan that we're about to open up some work in New Zealand. Maybe we will be a great blessing to that work, and maybe we will do some things that have never been done before. It has been a joy and a privilege to work under the oversight of the elders at Forest Park for 41 years, really, about a year before we went to the Pacific. And we're thankful to God for them. They try to meet the challenge before them on the south side of Atlanta, and it is a great challenge today. I remember when we were 550, we will do good to bump 200 anymore. But their vision and their opportunities are still many, and they are thankful to God for that. It has been me and Mary's privilege to work in all three major ethnic groupings in the Pacific. The Pacific Islanders would not want me to say this. The Fijians would not, neither would the Samoans or the Gilbertese, because they prefer to break it down to their own ethnic group. But centuries ago, it was broken down into Melanesia, Polynesia, and Micronesia. And oh, what a blessing it has been for Mary and I to have the opportunity to live and work in all three of these ethnic groupings of people. When you are in the Pacific, you're going to find for times like cities and metropolitan areas, and they're far and in between the larger cities and metropolitan areas. But you're going to find there are those in every country. It may scale downward according to the country, but there are still the cities, the towns, and the villages. In every country where we labor for the Lord throughout the Pacific Island nations, there are, when you go from the city and the metropolitan, the urban areas, there are the small towns. But when you leave the cities and the towns and you go to the villages, you go to my world then, and the places I love. Now, it's a different environment altogether, I promise you. You think you are in another world and another time in many respects. Everything is going to be different. The culture and customs are going to be stronger. The lifestyle is going to be different. This young lady is named Raj, and she goes to get drinking water every day 3 miles one way. And to go to school, she will ride this same horse. It is her mode of transport to do many chores around her. She will study her books for school under a kerosene lantern or lamp. Things are really different in the villages. Now, there are some countries where there are more motorcycles than there are people. Just like Dan McLeod has been with me to Funafuti, the main island in Tuvalu. There are more motorcycles than human beings, I promise you. But it's a main mode of transportation. There are other areas where the only way you're going to get to a village to work for the Lord, go to the end of the road, get in a boat, and go up or down a river in some direction. Then there are other times when we will get off of a small twin otter, 18-seater plane. We will get in a four-wheel drive and we start praying immediately, Lord, help us to get to the end of the road, our end of the track through the cow paddocks. Because we know that after that, we're going to have to use the all fours as we continue our journey for the Lord. But wherever it is, whatever we're doing, wherever we go, our work is changing the lives of people. Isn't that what it's all about? That's what really the good news, the Fijians say the Tukutukuvanaka, the Samoans would say the Malolele, and a lot more, but I won't go into that. I'd be speaking in tongues and need to translate. But nevertheless, our job is changing the lives of people. There are many ways that we do this. One of the major ways that we will do it is that we will have campaigns. Usually it's more or less a campaign workshop. We're going to do a lot of strengthening and edifying. We just came off of one a couple of months ago. We had 11 workers counting all of us. We were there 14 days. You know, the life of any congregation is up and down. Am I right? I mean, we just need to wake up and see the road and what it is. It is that. And so we had a congregation in Nandi, Fiji, that they needed a campaign. Now, many of the people that had moved to the capital and to the larger cities, and they were faithful in serving the Lord. But it had done a number on the church at Nandi. And so we went in for 14 days. We did a lot of preparation work, giving out tract packets before the group ever got there, putting ads in the newspaper, handling Bible correspondent course students, and answering their Bible questions, and just an assortment of things that would prepare for our getting off the plane and going to work that same day. We do it that way. We do not let grass grow under our feet. We're going to be on the move from the time we land. I've got a schedule, and we're going to follow that schedule. And it's, you get off the phone, you have 2 hours to lay your head down if you've flown all night, or about 15, 16 hours, and we're going to go to work. And we are going to work. Well, we did. Then people begin to contact their Bible correspondent course teachers. And I mean, by the next day, we were full blown. We were having Bible studies all around the hotel. I mean, we had invaded that hotel. There are Bible studies going on in every direction. And it was only just a few more days until the joy really started. I mean, we were there 14 days. 14 days, there were 14 baptisms. And more very soon after we left. Someone in the group said, more intelligent than I, and good with words and what they mean and phrases, said, "We left this pool dirtier than when we came." And I thought how true that was. And then in addition to having a campaign trying to get the gospel out to people that had never heard it, and to have that cup of water for weary souls, we did a lot of edifying, strengthening the church and churches. Two other churches joined in with us. They're older congregations, the one in Ba, Fiji, and the one in Laetoka, Fiji. We had classes for the children, classes for the teenagers, classes for the adults. And I tell you, when we left Nandi, Fiji, the congregation had doubled in size. Isn't that wonderful? But we give God all the honor and the glory and the praise for everything. And then when we're in different countries and we're working, and we're serving the Lord, it is going to be a daily thing that wherever we go and whatever we do, that's Acts 8 and 4. That is Acts 8 and 4 in reality. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we're going to be sharing the good news. It's like cold water to a weary stranger. We're going to be sharing it with others. We never go into a place, rarely, that we're not going to be able to. I happened to go into a village where I had one Bible correspondent course student in Honiara of the Solomon Islands. And I went into that village and contacted the student. We began to sit together and study the Bible. I no more got than half a dozen words out of my mouth. And I observed that people were just continuing to come. Now, it's customary in their culture that the men see first what's going on, and then it'll spread to the ladies likewise. We know that if we plant and we water in our work, God will give the increase. And in the work that we directly touch ourselves, one way or the other, 121 have been baptized in the last 12 months. We give God all the honor and glory and praise. 1 Corinthians 3 and 5, we are only the diakonos, the servants by which others believe. And truly, I mean that with all my heart. Then we go back. And there'll be individuals. When we go back into these countries where we've planted the church, there'll be those Christians who need encouragement. Acts 14, 21, and when they had preached the gospel in that city, they returned again to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. You know, we love this work. Whether the Christians are going through physical challenges in their life, whether they are suffering mentally or spiritually, we're going to be strengthening the souls of the disciples. But now, in the last 2 years since I last reported, we have taken the gospel on to four other countries and been able to plant the Lord's church in three of those. And we thank God and give Him all the honor and the glory and the praise. And when I see this, and you see that if you're observing these slides very, very closely, you can see that we use many people to bless the work. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and that's a concept we have used for 40 years. And then there's going back and strengthening the souls of the disciples, going back and strengthening congregations. There was a short period of time that we thought about and tried that we're not going to go back to those older churches that are 20, 25, 30 years of age in their faith. We're not going to go back because they're able to reproduce themselves, govern themselves, and support themselves. And so I happened to be back in the country of one of those. Well, the older brethren of one of the older congregations, they hunted me down like a renegade. And they found me, and they said, we have come because you're in trouble. I said, what have I done now, brethren? They said, because you and Mary have not been coming to visit us, and we don't like it. We may be older in the faith. We may be able to stand on our own, but we just want to know that you're the same, and you're still preaching the old Jerusalem gospel. Well, I got the point. And I told Mary, as long as we live, as often as we can, we'll go back and visit the brethren. Now, some of them are larger. This congregation is one of the older ones. And it runs about 115 or 20, and they're very close to appointing elders and deacons. There are 10 men that teach and preach in this congregation. They have the best outreach, soul-winning visitation program you've ever seen. They don't call it a program. They just do it. Isn't that what Christians ought to do? Never understood why we've got to be programmed to death. I know we want to be organized, and that's good. We all like that. And the elders want to challenge us. But if we're Christians, that's challenging us. And we ought to be ready to do it. We thank God for congregations like in Rewanga, Suva, Fiji. They don't know what they're going to do. They're growing and they're knocking the ends out of their building. We thank God for them and others. Now, many years ago, more than 17 years, add another 10 years to it. But add another 10 years to the 17, I begin to think. But I, again, did not do it because I thought of it myself. I didn't do that. That's why I played linebacker in high school football. Because you just got to smell the ball and find the man's got it. So I'm not that smart with that. So what happened is this. Again, the brethren. We had been growing in Fiji. We had planted many congregations and already carried the gospel to Western Samoa, Vanuatu, the Solomons, and to Kiribati. You would say Kiribati probably. And that's okay. And we had older brethren. Not too old in the faith, but they were the oldest brethren in the faith in those countries. And I thought it would be good to bring them to Fiji for the annual workshop that we had started. That workshop was different than some. We actually taught the Bible. It's not a surprise, is it? And we actually did a lot of training, soul winners, Bible school teachers, and preachers in that workshop. So these brethren that we had brought from these other countries, one day they said, I know I'm in trouble when the brethren do this. They said, Robert, we'd like to meet with you and Mary. I said, Mary's not in trouble. She wouldn't get in trouble with anybody. What's going on? And so I said, sure, we'll meet with you. And so we were able to sit down with these brethren and meet with them with an open ear. And here's what they said. Robert, we hear these Fijians speak, and we can see that they are able and more capable and can do a good job. And we have talked to them, and we know you have the Fiji School of Biblical Studies and Training that goes on weekly. You've not given us anything except when you come on a trip. I said, isn't that enough? They said, no, we want more. And so I said to these brethren, let me begin to think. What am I going to do? How can we be more effective? And so I begin to think. I began to think, first of all, institutional life, but I knew to do that, the closest two Pacific Island countries in the Pacific are 450 miles apart by water. And if you don't know where the stones are, you better not take off walking the deep ocean. You better know how to swim long distance. And so I knew that won't work. And then I knew if we did that, we had to build the buildings. We had to bring in the instructors. We had to get the students to come in. And in all of that, the cost effect would be so tremendous, it'd be terrible. I don't know anyone that could bear it, really, in the Pacific or in the States. I said, there's got to be another way. Well, Dan Jenkins always said, try to hold on as much as you can to the indigenous principle. I never let that leave me. Never let that leave me. I continued to think. We were living in Saipan at the time. And I'd been doing a lot of thinking, planning, praying, preparing, and tearing up notes I'd written myself. And so then one night, and I'm always doing things that does not annoy Mary too much. And so about 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up with this on my mind. Here's the way we're going to do it. It'll work. I said, Mary, get out of the bed. She said, what's wrong? The house on fire? What's going on? I said, no, I've thought of the way we're going to do it. We'll go downstairs and put the coffee on and make the notes. I said, no, I want you to make it. She does shorthand. How many of you can write shorthand? Oh, not many. Wow, I only see how many? I saw one here. There's not many. But she can take off in shorthand to this very day, the old way of doing things. Well, I said, you write, I'll talk. We talked that thing out, and we set it up. We're thankful to God that we did that. Now, it is an intense Bible program of work. It is one that, if it was here in the States, it'd sort of be like the Memphis School of Preaching, the East Tennessee School of Preaching, or some of the other schools of preaching. But it's different in that we're able to keep the students in the country where they are living, in the location they are living, and still being effective and faithful and working in the congregation where they are. Isn't that unique? We never take them out. We offer the courses by in the classroom. We carry the instructors to them. We also now offer the courses by DVD. And correspond us if there is no electricity in their area. What is our job? Teaching, training, and maturing Christians. Now, our classroom classes, will differ in size. If you're looking at the screen, over on the right would be one of our larger classes, probably around 45, 50, 55. And on the right lower-hand corner will be some of our smaller classes. You know, that never bothers me because the Lord started with 12 and through a certain process that's unique, carried the gospel to the whole world. We can do it. If we'll use the right approach in doing it. And we draw many instructors into our process of Pacific Islands Bible College, PIBC. They come from many walks of life. They come from many places in the United States, and they have gone to many different Bible colleges. We're thankful for them. We've got instructors that have been teaching the Bible 55, 50, 45, 40 years right on down. And we thank God for all these instructors. And then on a yearly basis, there are students that are graduating from Pacific Islands Bible College. But you know, the unique thing is by carrying the courses to them and they're able to stay in their local church, congregation, and they're able to stay faithful and worshiping and serving the Lord, they're able to continue to be effective at what level they are and continue to take courses with Pacific Islands Bible College. Oh boy, how the college has grown. Brethren, we have over 2,000. I think yesterday, David, I was still flying. I think I said 1,000, but it's over 2,000. It's around 2,100 students taking courses so that they might know more about the Word of God, be more effective in teaching and preaching it, and just serving the Lord. But on a annual basis, we're going to teach 450 to 550 students. And that's not counting all those that are taking courses by DVD. Many of them, until we get back to them, they'll continue to take the courses by DVD. We started in one country. Today we are in 12 countries already of the Pacific. Not only that, but we are in 25 different locations. And we're adding that every single year of the history of Pacific Islands Bible College. We will use 20 plus instructors every year. Sometimes we will use up to 30 instructors on a yearly basis. And every year there are those that are graduating. Now, what are some of these students? What are they doing? Well, before they even graduate, they're soul winners for Jesus. I love it when I get into a country, maybe I'm not told them I'm coming, and I'm able to go visit some of the brethren. I know where nearly all of them live. And I'm able to go and I find them studying the Bible with others. That's a joy and a privilege. You know, they're teaching, they're planting, they're watering, and God is giving the increase. Some of these students are TV speakers, because some brethren have their own TV programs. And then some of them are radio speakers. They're Bible school teachers. They are preachers. Some of them are becoming elders and deacons in the church. But Mary, you know, one way I like it when she's not here, because I can tell you she's a rascal. And she don't love it when I set the clock at 2 a.m. in the morning with the Alabama Crimson Tide, Eli Go, calling a touchdown. She don't love that one now. She don't love it at all. And I do it just to wake her up to say, you know, Mary, I still love you. She said, well, I knew that. What else is going on? You know, she don't like to be woke up from her sleep. She's a sweetheart. You know, the 20th day of this month, I will have been married to her 51 years. And not one day that I've woke up by her side, not one day have I ever heard her be negative or down or discouraged in no matter what we face. Isn't that a great attribute to possess? And you know, she is a great encouragement to me, and I thank God for her every day. You know, there are ladies now throughout the Pacific that they are teaching their daughters and their granddaughters the way that Mary has taught them. Whether it is to be a soul winner or a Bible school teacher, whether it is to walk by their husband in the Lord, or whatever it may be, her work just goes on every day. And I do not know what I would ever do without her. I would say that she's my right-hand person, but I'm left-handed like Ehud. And I'm telling you that there's nothing she can't do. And even with the challenges that we have in Maria being very sick, you know, Mary still is very involved in the work. And sometimes I say to her, tell me if it's too much for you. She said, how could I ever say that if I'm able to do it? Because my Lord never said it was too much for him. I thank God for this lady and her being a servant of the Lord. Our job is to pass it on. Isn't that what it's all about? You ever thought what would happen if all of us decided we're not going to share the gospel with others? We're just not going to do it. We're going to come in here and worship every Sunday, but we're not going to tell another single person, not a single one of us, about the Lord and His church. What would happen? It would not take many years till there would be no church at Palm Beach Lakes, no congregation here. It would rapidly disappear. We know for the church to continue and be strong and zealous for the Lord, that if we don't train them in such a way, that they'll turn it around and do the same thing with others. We know that the work will suffer. We know that. And that's why even when they bring their children to Pacific Islands Bible College classes, we don't discourage them. Now, many congregations, they've built desks. The brethren have built desks. Many times you'll have two of them sitting at a desk, and the mother will have her baby laid up in the front. She's not ashamed to nurse that baby openly in order to keep on learning and absorbing the Word of God. She don't get up and go out. She's not being rude and crude. She just is going to do what needs to be done to keep the baby quiet. And I love it when some of the children get a little older and, you know, they get rambunctious and they're going to, if there's another child close by, they're going to maybe want to talk to that other child or make faces or get that other child involved. And I love it when a mother will lay a child at her feet and she will take her foot and put it on that child's leg. And if that child starts misbehaving, she's going to clamp down on that leg. I love it. And she don't miss a beat. Her focused attention is on studying the Word of God and observing and absorbing the Word of God. And she's not going to let anything discourage her. You know, the two on your right lower hand side, that's a son in the faith over on the right, Omega Malila. And that's the father. And then his son, Tanyela. And, boy, they make linebackers or nose guards. No, more like nose guards. They couldn't move that far, and you don't have to as a nose guard. But that's a father and a son. Isn't that beautiful? The father is speaking in Samoan, and the son is translating back there at Leone in American Samoa into English. That's hard. It's easier to go the other way. But to bring it back, it is a challenge, and Daniel is doing a great job. You know what it's about? 2 Timothy 2:2, passing it on. Now, in our work, mission work together for the Lord in the Pacific, when I think of Palm Beach Lake, so many times you have walked in the work all the time, by our side. Prayers, love, concern, support, and in every way. It's not the work Robert and Mary is doing in the Pacific. It's what we are doing together. When I think of Palm Beach Lakes, Mary and I, we talk about it from time to time. We think of a bunch of rascals. No, I'm joking. I got you, didn't I, David? Rascals. That's a term that we would use in the Pacific. But we think of congregation like Philippi. We really and truly do. This old missionary wrote a mission letter back to that church, and he said, from the beginning, you have had fellowship with us in the gospel. And then he would write in chapter 4 about verse 17, and fruit abounds to your account. Think about all the years. And David, it goes back about 30 years. In one way, really from the beginning, Mary and I would have never gone to the Pacific if it had not been for that rascal preacher, Dan Jenkins. We'd have never went. And so it's truly our work together. What I want to show you, I'll hit something wrong, boys. I'm telling you, bring me back up, please. I want to see where I'm going. I don't want to go off the cliff. Thank you. Oh, you saved my life. I owe you one, brother. I promise you. Okay. Oh, I done hit the wrong thing. All right. God is blessing the work. Truly, I tell you, God is good, and He's good all the time, and He's blessing the work we do for the Lord. Now, what has the Lord accomplished? This is very brief, and listen to it. Number one, already, with the help of many people, we have carried, and that includes you, we've carried the gospel to 20 of the 22 countries. And not only that, but we have planted the Lord's church already in 19 of those countries. In all this, we give God the honor and glory and the praise. And in the work that you have been involved with us in, 66 congregations have already been planted, and probably another one that I don't even know about yet. Thousands have been baptized, and elders are now being appointed in congregations, like Honiara, the Solomon Islands, like in Deltamanu, Fiji, and Nala, Fiji, like Tafuna and Nui and American Samoa, and Leone is very close by. You know, we want to thank you from the very bottom of our heart for your love and for your care and for your prayers and for all your encouragement and for coming to our side when you didn't know that you came and stood by our side or that you stood by the supply line and made sure that we had what we needed. Now, a few years ago, I think a couple of years ago, I finally put a book in print at the insistence of Brother Earl Edwards and Brother J.C. Choate. They were the two primary ones. And I wrote a book. It's not, and you've got to look beyond it being the work we've tried to do for the Lord in the Pacific. And if you get one, you've got to read it, and you've got to see mission, caring, loving, principles, a lot of labor and toil, sweat and blood over, at that time, 38 years. It's about more than me and Mary and our family. If you do not have a copy of this, and it has a Fijian town, Telanoa Bilavu, and that simply means a long story, and it's not that long really. But if you'd like to have a copy of it, please give me or David or June or someone else your name and address, and we'll put a copy in the mail. Now, there's one problem. There's no refunds if you don't like it, okay? Marie said, tell them there's no refunds on it. So if you love reading, even if you love just reading the pictures, then you may want to get one. We'll be sure that you get one. Also, if you do not get our newsletter, don't ask me to send it electronically, okay? Because if you get it that way, you've got to read it on the iPad or on your computer screen or print it out. Let us just do all of that and send it to you. So if you do not get our newsletter and you would like to receive it, please give me or David or June or one of the elders your name and address with the zip code, and we'll put you on the mailing list. I am sure, and elders, one of you frown at me, or do something. But you know, every 2 years, we try to raise, in addition to our monthly support, money for special projects. This time, we're trying to raise $20,000. We're $15,000 away from that, and I believe the elders always put the baskets at the back on the table. Am I correct? And hopefully that will be the case this year, that they'll do it. If you can give anything to help us raise this $20,000, not taking one penny away from your commitment to this local church and what you have pledged to give on the first day of every week, please help us all you can. We do not know where it will come from. We do not know what we will face in reporting. But we had $20,000 to raise. We're at $15,200, something like that. So please, and I believe make the check out to the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ, and then they will get that money over to Forest Park, and the elders will hold it until we use it in the special project areas that we have designated. thank you so very much for listening. I don't believe that I have time to open for questions this morning. 1 year, one time, I'm just going to come and maybe do what Paul did without PowerPoint, and maybe just do nothing but take a whole session just to answer questions about missions. I'd be very happy to do that. David, I'll turn it back over to you.